Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Thanks for joining me on this beautiful Sunday morning in Chicago. This is kind of the pregame for, you could say, either the Bears-Packers or for Chicago Gourmet. We'll be the appetizer for Chicago Gourmet. How about that? Just on a personal note, one of my most dedicated listeners, Fran Kokel, she was known to everybody as Aunt Fran. Well, she's moving from Lake County off to Madtown, to Madison, Wisconsin. And I just want to wish her the best. She's been an important part of a lot of people's lives, and heading off to Madison. And so I have to figure out a way to try to show her how to work the computer to pick up the live stream of the show on WGNradio.com. And I also, it's a good opportunity too, as I wish Fran well, that I misspoke earlier when I said that the Blackhawks game was going to be on our little sister station, the game. It's actually only online, only at WGNradio.com. So hopefully your smartphone still has enough megabytes left in it that you can pick up the Blackhawks-Edmonton game. But Aunt Fran, take care, safe travels, and have a great time in Madtown. I don't know anybody that doesn't have a good time in Madtown. So our best wishes to you. Joining me right now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Mike Jalotka. He's president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association. And we had to have Mike on early because, surprise, surprise, he's got a plane to catch to go to Las Vegas. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Let's kind of talk about, is this the second anniversary of the operations going on here? But let's walk back through the history of this thing, because it was always very kind of controversial in the General Assembly and not a sure vote at any point. I mean, when did the legislature actually take this on? It was, I mean, like 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2009, the Video Gaming Act was passed. It was part of the entire kind of capital bill that would put, I believe it was $10 billion over the next 10 years, or the previous 10 years, we're already 5 years into it, into capital projects throughout the state.
The Public Works Bill that was enacted then.
Sure, expressways, buildings, and a lot of different towns and stuff. And video gaming was one of the sources of revenue for funding that capital bill.
And, of course, the argument was, and it wasn't necessarily the case, really, I don't think, up in the Chicago area as much as perhaps more prevalent downstate, was the unregulated machines that were paying off. And, you know, let's face it, they were at the VFWs. They were a sight, common sight downstate, but there was no regulation, no supervision, no tax revenue for the state.
Sure. And that's what video gaming as it exists today got rid of, because in order to participate in the legal video gaming, locations and participants couldn't be a part of that. So it was a way to get rid of all of that. And now the state's hooked up directly into it, and they can tell you exactly how much you made and how much they want.
And it's, I mean, it's all regulated online, and all that activity is being supervised by, I think, Department of Revenue.
The video gaming terminals themselves are all hooked up to what we call a central system. And it's run by Scientific Games, and more or less the state watches over and is able to observe and shut off if someone loses a license or does something that's inappropriate. They can shut the machines off in an instant. So
it passes 5 years ago, but we're talking now really the first 2 years of operation. And it seemed to be something that was very slow to start. Still a lot of controversy about because municipalities and counties were able to do an opt-out if they didn't want to be part of it. But now it seems like we're finding places that are opting back in.
Yeah, it started slow in the first part because there was litigation on the bill, which probably happens in a lot of cases. In this case, because it was a large tax bill, in essence, there was some litigation by the alcohol distributors, because they felt that they were improperly taxed as a part of it. But once that was completed, Then it became the regulatory process. And my application as a terminal operator, who are the businesses that own the machines and place them into locations, my application itself took about a year and a half to process through the Illinois Gaming Board. So once you had that, then there was the testing of the equipment and things like that. And it was about September of 2012 that we finally got the first machines online. And there's probably about 50 or 60 of them at that time. And now we've matured to where we are today.
Now, the fact that it took a year and a half, was it because it was new? Was it the fact that the gaming board wasn't sure what rules were in place, or is that just the nature of the bureaucracy?
No, well, I think it's probably in the most part a nature of how deep the background check and the regulatory body. We had, you know, the state police, the gaming board itself. I mean, the licensing process is more or less the same. You're dealing with the same board as who regulates the casinos.
Right.
And it's the Illinois Gaming Board has a pretty high reputation. I mean, how long did they hold up the Rosemont license?
Right.
For 10 years because they didn't like what was coming down the road. So they have a reputation that they like, and they're willing to, you know, go all the way in making sure that people who are involved are legitimate to be involved. So I think the longest reason for it was the actual background check. There was also quite a few terminal operators being checked at the time. So they're doing everybody at the same time.
The en masse rush to get in. Mike, hold it right there, and we're going to take a break. Mike Jalatka, president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association, 2 years of video gaming operations in Illinois. You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN. 7:49 in the morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, joined here in the Allstate Showcase studio by Mike Jalatka, president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association. 2 years of video gaming operations in Illinois. And, you know, Mike, as you said, this was actually legalized as part of a revenue stream to help pay off the bonds for public works infrastructure construction. In fact, I do remember lawmakers, you know, had approved this thing, but yet they, because of this kind of slow starting off point there, no one was certain how this was necessarily going to be, how to work. But it, as the gaming board says, that it's proved to be a regulatory and technical success, as well as an important adjunct to state revenues. And can you give us an idea on some of the revenue figures? I think you were talking about 2013, for example.
Well, in 2013, video gaming contributed about $104 million to state and municipal governments. And between the start and today, we are about $212 million to municipal government taxes and things like that. But probably what I like to say, even a more important number, is there's over almost $250 million that's gone into small businesses. You know, the taxes are one thing and they're great and it allows video gaming to exist. But the real importance of video gaming to me is money going to small businesses and local businesses, local bars and restaurants and places of entertainment that keeps money local. And it's really helping a group of businesses that have been hurt over the last decade between increased liquor taxes, the getting rid of smoking in bars and restaurants and frankly, the last 5 to 7 years of not the best economy and stuff.
And well, and as well as like fraternal organizations too, where, I mean, that seems to be where they've also had their struggles too. And
sure, those are the types of places that thrive on just a handful of, you know, participants, and all of that kind of money goes back into the local culture, the local society, the local way things are going. And as of a couple months ago, the state of Illinois, the VFWs alone, earned $8 million in video gaming. And that doesn't include the American Legions and stuff, but that's important because for the VFW, that money goes to help veterans.
Right.
And that's exactly what it goes for. The Legions, all of those add to the local culture and everything, but those are the places that we have to maintain too. I'm from Lansing, mm-hmm. and in Lansing, they were opted out originally and came back in, but in the meantime, waiting for video gaming, the American Legion struggled, and the VFW actually went out of business. So those are real examples of groups that you don't want to lose from your towns.
Right, because they are kind of the grassroots part of these municipalities.
They're the people who donate to the Little League, sponsor the Little League teams, the Boy Scouts, that kind of thing. So, I mean, those are the places that need the money, and those are the people who are benefiting from video gaming.
So now, Chicago opted out of this, unincorporated Cook County opted out of this, and of course, we've always had these great debates here in the city about whether there ought to be a Chicago casino going on, something that the mayor has supported, but Springfield has not acted on. What would the effect be on to open up video gaming as your type of operations here in the city? What type of effect would that have? And also that versus, say, a casino here?
Well, video gaming in the city of Chicago would be a huge revenue source for the city. I mean, I think you could easily estimate $40 million a year in just municipal fees.
Taxes.
And things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as it versus a casino, I mean, I would argue that a casino is important for things beyond gaming and revenue. I think it's important for just bringing in all of the groups to McCormick Center and stuff in competition with Vegas and places like that. I think a casino makes a lot of sense in the city of Chicago.
As part of a convention type.
Yeah, as part of a, you know,
convention and tourism destination.
Yeah, bringing money in from out of state. You know, video gaming does a great job throughout the state of bringing in the excess demand, the people keeping the money local, keeping it in the town and things like that. And I think that's what separates video gaming. Video gaming is low denom betting. It's $2 max bet, $500 max win. You can go to the 7-Eleven and get a scratch off that costs you more and you could win a lot more. You know, so it's something that we can keep local, and even if you had a Chicago casino, it wouldn't prevent you from having video gaming, because I think there's a large part of the city that, you know, you're going to catch without, you know, having the casino.
Although, but I mean, casinos aren't necessarily, they don't like what you guys are doing.
Obviously, casinos, I mean, don't like what we're doing. I think that a lot of the downward pressure of revenue from the casino side is being kind of solely pointed at video gaming. The reality is that in 2012 and 2013, if you averaged Iowa, Missouri, and Indiana all together, that they were down in revenue more than the Illinois boats were, and the Illinois boats have video gaming around them. You know, those states do not.
So, I mean, just part of the general economic trend.
Trend for gaming all over, and regional casinos, that there's some revenue pressures that they're feeling.
So is anybody talking about having Chicago opt in? I mean, with the city under the fiscal pressures that it is? I mean, I haven't heard anything.
I think that we are open to having that conversation. I think, to the best of my knowledge, the reality is that they're focusing on the casino for purposes like we discussed. You know, it's important for bringing people to the city. But if that doesn't go anywhere in Springfield, hopefully they do look again at video gaming. Because if nothing else, I think it's something that they can turn around relatively quickly and start getting some kind of revenue source in.
Mike Jalatka, president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.